Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website. Now, here's Ed.
Sharks are all behind the boat. I'm getting ready to jump in. Wow, look at that shark right there. That is a monster.
Anytime we've had an incident with sharks, a negative incident with the sharks, it's our own error. Scared of the sharks, you can just do this, and they'll go away.
You know, a lot of people do that, though, don't they?
They close their eyes.
Yeah. Part of life is living and swimming with the sharks. Shark bait, shark bait, shark bait. You're surrounded by sharks? I do.
I almost got attacked, didn't I? I almost got bitten by that shark. I've got a question for you. How do you come back after an attack? How do you come back after chunks and hunks are bitten out of your life? Because let's face it, all of us will get attacked by sharks. I'm not talking about in one of the oceans around the world. I'm talking about in life, because bad things happen to good people. We're going to get chewed up. We're going to get gnawed on. Out of nowhere, fins will be slicing through the water. And maybe, just maybe, you're here and you're like, okay, I've been attacked, and I'm being attacked in some sort of a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. It could be a friendship. Maybe you're attacked financially. Maybe your attack is in an area you would never articulate. We, however, live in a fallen, infallible place. Our world is jacked up, man. Bad things happen to good people. Can you come back after an attack? How about the chunks and the hunks that have been taken from your life? Those wounds either define us or refine us. They either define us or they shape our lives. How do you come back after an attack? Is it possible to come back after an attack? Why do bad things happen to good people? And when they happen to you and me, what do? There were a couple of guys in the Bible that I want you to meet, and these cats were very interesting. One of them was named Paul. You've heard of Paul. If you haven't, St. Paul. Paul, the guy who hated Christians, the guy that persecuted the church, the guy that had all these people killed. One day, something shifted inside of his life that never shifted back. He had a pivot point situation. He opened his life to Christ, made him the ruler of his life, and from that day forward, Paul, this brilliant man, was never the same. Once he was persecuting the church, and now he's building the church. There was another guy, Silas. He was a missionary as well, a Christ follower as well. And these guys tenaciously followed the Lord. They wanted to go to one area of the world to spread the good news. Those doors were shut. And sometimes God shuts doors. Sometimes we have an opportunity here or a situation that looks like it's playing out over there, and the doors are shut. The Lord, though, gave them a new direction. Say that with me. New direction. Every time God gives us a new direction in our lives, sharks show up. I'll say it again. Every time we have a new direction in our lives, sharks show up. Paul and Silas head to a place called Philippi. Philippi was in Macedonia. It was called Little Rome. There were a number of Little Romes in this area ruled by Romans. Very few Jews were there. As some of you know, Paul was a Roman citizen. The people of Philippi didn't know it. Well, Silas and Paul meet this lady in the fashion industry, very wealthy. Her name, Lydia. Lydia opened her home to these missionaries, to followers of Christ. And not only did she open her home, her mansion to them, she also opened the mansion of her heart to them and to the message. She became a follower of Christ. So things are popping, man, in Philippi. They're having a good time. Paul and Silas, missionaries. I mean, you can't get better than that, right? These radical life-change experiences, people are freaked out that Paul and Silas had experienced such a life change. All of a sudden, though, in this new direction, a shark showed up. A little baby shark, you know. Paul's doing the right thing, so is Silas. When you hear the music, get out of the water. This little girl, a little shark, a little distraction. This girl was a fortune teller. And if you study what the word fortune teller means in the original language, it's the spirit of Python, like the snake. It dates back to the time of Apollo, and it was a fortune-telling spirit. She was demonically oppressed. This girl began to yell at Paul and Silas. The Bible says they were following this new direction. Lydia, this fashion icon, had just given her heart to God, and now all of a sudden they're going to pray, and this little girl tries to distract them to get them off their game. Oh, man, Paul and Silas, you're serving the one and true God, yelling over and over. And after a couple of days, Paul and Silas became irritated. So they turned and they cast this evil spirit out of her life. That didn't go over too well because her owners were making a lot of money from this girl telling fortunes and doing all this crazy stuff. When they saw that, they were very upset. Let's face it, people get funny when you mess with their money. So you got a new direction, right? They're going this new way, and now all of a sudden you got a new distraction. A little shark, baby shark, boom, boom, yelling at Paul and Silas. That's so true in my life. Whenever God gives me a direction, like for me, I'm going to set aside some minutes to pray. Distractions happen when I start praying. Am I the only one? Phone will ring, or the kids will come in, the dogs, or something will happen. Distractions. I want to read maybe a text in the scriptures. Distractions, trying to get me off of my game, trying to get you off of my game. It's never easy to go to church, is it? You talk about distractions. I've talked to so many people. Yeah, man, it was so difficult to get to church today. Are these coincidences? No. I'm telling you, most of them would be that baby shark, boom, 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 boom. Those little sharks, those little distractions. You go a new direction, I'm telling you, you'll face a new distraction. You go the way God wants you to go, sharks will show up. So let's read some. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul. Sounds like an attack. And Silas. And dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews. And they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." And look at verse 22. The crowd joined in the, say it with me, attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. They played the race card.
These Jews.
Then they played the flash mob card.
They're in the Macedonian mall causing all these flash mobs.
Then they played the religious card.
Man, they're trying to jam customs and God down our throat.
That wasn't the deal. What was the deal? The deal was they had cast out the demon from the slave girl who was making them all of this money, and they lied about them and exaggerated, attacked them, drugged them before the authorities, and everybody joined in on the attack. That was a situation, a new direction, a new distraction. Paul and Silas, what were they about? They were simply about teaching and preaching the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for you and me. He took the licks that we deserve so we could know God and know him and understand his new direction for our lives. That's the situation. So when you are about the blood of Jesus, when that is your life and your calling, when blood is in the water,
sharks show up. Are you with me? Are you smelling what I'm stepping in?
When you're talking about the blood of forgiveness, of mercy, and grace, sharks show up. Fellowship has been going for 20 years. We started with 30 families in a little office complex. I always tell people, if you want to understand fellowship, don't take a snapshot of the church today. 5 locations and doing work all over the world and a beautiful camp on 1,100 acres in East Texas and blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. To understand fellowship, you got to go back. I'm talking about back. Chris Berman back to 1990 at the MacArthur Commons office complex, about 6,000 square feet that we rented. Then you take picture after picture as we rented facilities for all those years, and finally we're able to do this, and the whole thing is just multiplied. So that's the true picture and the true vibe of Fellowship Church. So be very, very careful when you just look at something, whether it be a business or a person, and judge the entity based on where they are today. Because where they are today, yeah, is where they are, but also you got to realize what happened in this whole progression. Every time God has done something awesome at Fellowship Church, every single time God has moved in a significant way. Every time when we decided to go to satellites and have campuses in Miami and Dallas and Fort Worth and Plano, for example, that situation, every time something great has happened, sharks have shown up. I'll say it again. Before every breakthrough at Fellowship Church in 20 years, I can show you, sharks have shown up. Your life is the same. I'm telling you, I'll bet you cash money. Whenever there's a breakthrough, whenever there's an opportunity, whenever God wants to lead you somewhere, I promise you, just check it out, when you get ready for that new direction, there's going to be a new distraction in the form of a shark. You walk with God, you're going to face sharks. Now, even if you don't walk with God, you're going to face sharks. But if you walk with God and face sharks, the sharks will have meaning. If you don't, I don't know how somebody survives. I really don't. Chunks and hunks taken out of you, blood's in the water. You're like, well, I guess it's all about me. I guess I'll have to just get up enough courage to face those sharks. And after a while, it's not going to happen for you. You're going to be in serious, serious trouble. You can go that way or go the other way where you're going, all right, God, I give you control of the situation. I understand that you didn't cause the sharks, but because we lived in a jacked up world, sharks happen. God can give us meaning in our attacks. God never wants to waste a crisis in your life or mine. Never. He never wants us to waste one because he doesn't if we listen to him. So shark attacks. Why do we sometimes face sharks here? Blood's in the water. Why do you as a Christ follower sometimes face sharks, blood's in the water. You're about the blood of Jesus, the forgiving, cleansing blood of Jesus that sets people free. That'd be a great time to clap. I'm just suggesting that. I'm not talking about a golf clap. No, I'm talking about a real clap. Okay. I thought for a second we were at the U.S. Open. All right. I just wondered. Yeah, we got to clap, man. We see something or hear something that's awesome like that. Man, that's amazing because all of us have been attacked or will get attacked. So this attack situation is happening. Paul and Silas, you know, were going, why me? And then the Bible says they were beaten. The word beaten in the Latin is the word lictors. You hear the phrase, taking your licks. That's where we get it from. They were beaten, chunks and hunks of flesh, blood flying everywhere. Then they were thrown into the dungeon. Blacks bleeding, feet fastened. Their torsos were stretched in excruciating pain. Paul and Silas, think about this. I'm talking Paul and Silas. Great people, men of God, anointed and appointed. And they're getting attacked. I'm telling you, attacks happen. You can't get away from it, nor can I. We live in a fallen, fallible place. Sharks are in the water. What do you do? God doesn't want you to waste an attack. He doesn't want you to waste a crisis. What do you do? An attack is either a setback and you never come back from it. You're defined by the attack for the rest of your life. Oh, the attack happened in my childhood. Oh, the attack happened in the business or in the athletic world. The attack, the financial attack. You're defined by it. You're either defined by it or you're refined by it. You're refined. You realize, wow, God didn't cause it. He, though, has used it and wants to use it for his glory. So now those wounds don't define me. They refine me. I am a better person. I have more commitment, more discipline. God has chipped away all of the junk to make me into this beautiful diamond, this beautiful image bearer before him. Don't waste a crisis. Don't waste a crisis. Paul and Silas thrown in the dungeon, man. Bad things happen to good people. Can they come back after this attack? Wow. You know, there was a religious festival I heard about in South America. They were selling all of these trinkets, all these religious trinkets. And one booth had a little sign that said, cheap crosses sold here. There's no such thing as a cheap cross. It cost the blood of Jesus. Jesus took your licks and my licks on the cross, something that I don't deserve and you don't deserve. We don't deserve it. Paul and Silas understood that. They've been washed by the blood of Jesus. They were preaching the blood of Jesus, a new direction. The girl, Lydia, had been saved. Now the slave girl, the fortune teller, had been saved. Now all of a sudden they're thinking, okay, everything's going great. They're beaten to a pulp in prison. But we're getting ready to hear some jailhouse rock. If you're over 50, you got that. Jailhouse rock. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Jailhouse rock. A new direction, right? A new distraction. You go God's direction, the enemy is going to try to distract you and me to get us off of our game. It happens individually and corporately. Now, check out a new disposition. At midnight in the prison. Now check this out. There was a guy who ran the prison, the warden. He's known as the Philippian jailer. If one person escaped, he'd be killed. I mean, it's not like it is today. I mean, one person escapes, boom, on the spot, the dude was executed. So this Philippian jailer helped in this whole process of torturing them and wounding them, put them in stocks and torturing them, so forth and so on. At about midnight, Verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying. Now that is unbelievable. They're praying? I'd be praying. I'd be going like, Lord, why me? That's what I'd be saying. And you know they were saying that. It's okay to say, why me? Lord, why me? Did this happen? Why me? I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. Why me? I'm a pastor, and I've said that many times to God. You have too. That's good. Why me? Why? We are never, ever, ever going to understand all of the answers to why me. We're just not. We better, though, move from why me to what now? We're in crisis mode. We need a king of the crisis. Jesus is the king of the crisis. So as I pray, I'm simply reconnecting, rebooting, recalibrating my life. And I'm saying, Lord, this crisis situation, you have the authority in my life to do what you want to do in it. And also, God, you've got the power to rule over the crisis. Let me say it again. Don't miss that. The Lord wants to be the king of our crisis. We say, God, you're God? I'm not. You got the power over the crisis. Now, a lot of times we'll play games with God. We'll be sly. I'll do this too. I'll go through a crisis situation, and I'll go, all right, God, you changed her. You changed him. You changed that situation. Now, don't change me, but just get me out of jail. That's what I do. You're clapping. You do the same thing. You're like, wow, has this guy been following me around? No, we're the same. But here's how to go to the next level. Okay, it's fine to do that, but within that, we've got to come to the point where we go, all right, God, I know you don't want to waste a crisis. You didn't cause the attack, but this attack has happened. Yes, Lord, I pray you'll change these people, but God, you're God. You've got the power. You're the king of the crisis. And God, I submit. This is hard for me to do it. I submit. Come on, this is difficult. I submit my life to you in this crisis. I submit under your authority. Wow. That's another good place to clap because it's a God thing. I mean, we can't do it ourselves. But see, when we pray, we're like, all right, it's not just about me. God, it's about you. It's not just about, oh, well, I come out looking cool. No, it's not about that. It's about God being famous because people are watching you and me going through crisis. Like, whoa, Ed's attacked. Whoa, Lisa's attacked. Oh, man, Jill is attacked. Look, he's attacked. She's attacked. They're watching. It's one thing when you're riding high, everything's going great. We're living for the Lord. I mean, we're doing well. I mean, that's cool. But people will lean in and really watch when the fins are in the water, when the blood's in the water. Paul and Silas, they begin to pray. Then they begin to praise God. So they prayed, and you know their perspective changed from it's about me to God, it's about you. God, you're the king of my crisis. God, be the king of my life. I submit myself to you. What do you want to do in my life? And we're going to see a miracle because when you pray and when you praise the Lord, praising the Lord is simply expressing your love to him. It releases the power of God. I'll say it again. When you pray and when you praise the Lord, it releases the power of God and we understand his perspective on the situation and his purpose on the situation. So, we're going a new direction. We had the distraction. By God's grace, he can give us a new disposition. I don't mean some phony, baloney, game show host, fake smile, like everything is great. You know what I'm saying to you. I'm talking about the real deal Holyfield, man. The real deal. That's a reference to Evander Holyfield, the guy that had his ear bitten off by Mike Tyson. At about midnight, they begin to pray. And praise God. And when they started doing that, you know what God did? God just kind of elbowed his earthquake angel.
He came down, caused an earthquake in the Philippian jail that was off the chart. I mean, just crazy. And the chains fell off of every prisoner. The doors flew open. But here's what's so whack about it. None of the prisoners left. They just hung out there in the Philippian jail. Jailhouse rock. The whole thing rocked. So, man, the Philippian jailer, he began to freak out. Turns the lights on. and he's going to kill himself. He has a sword. It's over. And Paul and Silas go, man, stop. Stop. We're all here. Chill. Everything's cool. And then this Philippian jailer asks the most profound question in the world. The question that every follower of Christ has ever asked. Are you ready for it? Check it out. In verse 30, Acts chapter 16. Sirs, he's talking to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I remember back when I was at Florida State playing basketball. My career was pretty much a crisis. I did not have a stellar career. If I had been all-world or all-American, I'd have never had this situation. There's no doubt about it. So I'm walking to class with one of my teammates, and this guy was, I'm telling you, a reprobate. He had gotten kicked out of an Atlantic Coast Conference school. He was a great basketball player. He'd stolen everything imaginable, dope. I mean, it's just a lot of bad stuff. So he's walking with me. And we're just, you know, talking about the team and everything. And he said, I'll never forget it. He goes, Ed, I've been watching you, man. He said, dude, there's something different about you. I'm like, where's he going? He goes, I want what you got. What was he asking? What must I do to be saved? So I'm like, man, I got to tell this guy. We went back to the athletic dorm, and through my stutterings and stumblings and fumblings, I talked to him about Jesus and how to open his life to him. I talked about this pivot point. And I said, man, if you want to pray and ask Christ to come into your life, you know, we can do it right here. And this dude starts crying, this big basketball star. He goes, I'm ready to do it right now. And he asked Christ to come into his life. What must I do to be saved? Now, why was he watching me? Because I was all world? Because I averaged 32 points a game? No. I averaged 32 points a game in warm-ups, but that's about it. He was watching me. I didn't even know it. Because I was not that great. I was one of the last guys on the team. Just a reality. Don't waste a crisis. We don't realize, but people are watching us. The Philippian jailer was listening to them, praying and singing. The prisoners were listening. He hits the knees. What must I do to be saved? And I love their response. It's so basic, yet so deep. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Now, this word believe is not like, okay, yeah, I believe that lectern is there, and I believe we're at fellowship. Yeah, I believe it, yeah. No, it's more than that. It's believing and receiving the finished work of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. Religion is spelled D-O. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. There's nothing I can do except receive what's been done for me. That's how someone becomes a follower of Christ. There's nothing I can do. That's religion. And Christ had one thing to say about religion. He was against it. People say, Ed, you're really religious. I go, no, I'm not. What? I'm into a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Christ. Well, then check out the jailer. He makes his decision. And it's so powerful, he tells his entire household about it. They come in. They listen to Paul and Barnabas. They become followers of Christ.
Then this guy who was helping torture Paul and Silas, now, you can read it, washes their wounds. And then on top of that, after this went down, the Bible says in verse 33, Acts chapter 16, it says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, say immediately with me, immediately, he and all of his family were baptized. So here's the crisis situation. The miracle served not to deliver them out of the whole deal, but the miracle served to deliver the Philippian jailer and his household. That was the purpose here of this crisis. And moreover, the purpose of the crisis was all about the house. Check it out. Paul and Silas went from the fashion house to the prison house, from the prison house to the jailer's house, and to the jailer's house back to the fashion house where they started the house of God, one of the most powerful churches in the New Testament. They started in the mansion of Lydia. Lydia believed. She was baptized. The jailer believed. He was baptized. Baptism. Man, should I pray about baptism? That's a no prayer. Should I get baptized or not? That's a stupid prayer. It's commanded. Well, God, should I trust you as far as relationships, as far as business world? Should I? I mean, again, that's a no prayer. God has given us the 411 on what to do. The Bible says from cover to cover, the moment we believe and receive, immediately we need to get baptized. But the most important thing is believing and then getting baptized. You're in a crisis, a new direction. There'll be distractions, but God's grace will give you a new disposition. And that's what baptism illustrates. The washing of the wounds, the washing of sin, the blood of Jesus. I had to come to a point where I fell in, jumped in with all those sharks. I was scared, had some anxiety. Finally, after the questions were answered, some of them, not all of them, I fell in. It was one of the great experiences of my life. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you made that decision? I want to give you an opportunity right now to make that decision. Just bow your heads with me for a moment. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I want you to do what Lydia did. I want you to do what the jailer did. You're asking, what must I do to be saved? I've got to receive what's been done for me. And you can do it right now. I want everybody to say this prayer after me. Everybody, because I know many of you have said it before. All it takes is one time, but by you saying it, you'll help others who've never said it to say it. Just say, dear God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you. I turn from my sin. And I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and rise again. And right now, I receive you into my life. I give you everything I am and everything I'll ever become. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Hey, let's give everybody a crazy round of applause who made that decision. You know, that's the most important thing I could tell you. As I talk to all of our campuses, Miami, downtown, Fort Worth, Dallas, Plano, to those people who are watching on television around the world, let me tell you this. If you prayed that prayer, awesome. I challenge you, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, to go to a local church in your area and get baptized. Get baptized immediately. And today, we're going to get baptized immediately. Last night, in our Saturday night service, after the service, after I'd given people an opportunity to believe, we had an opportunity for people to get baptized immediately. And I want to show you
what a young man did after his belief. Watch this. Is that incredible? Here we have someone physically challenged who believed. He had every excuse, every shark telling him, oh, no, no, man. Don't liquefy your faith. Don't jump into the water. You're paralyzed. I mean, people will have to carry you, yet he believed and was baptized. Have you been baptized? You might have prayed to give your life to Christ 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and you've never been baptized. Well, man, maybe you're like my wife. Maybe you grew up and you were sprinkled or spritzed or poured or whatever when you were young. That's cool. Man, that's awesome. I would never say that your baptism didn't take or whatever, but I'm just telling you, the Bible says when we're old enough to make a faith decision and believe, when we're old enough, then we should get baptized. And we don't force anybody to get baptized. It's not like when people get baptized, it's $10 a head or something. I mean, I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. But I believe today many of you need to get baptized immediately. I want you to meet Justin. Where's Justin? Justin, come up here, man. Let's just give it up for Justin, because what's up, Justin? Justin recently made a decision to believe in Christ and to receive him. And man, it takes some serious guts, Justin, just to walk on this stage. Well, Justin, right now, immediately, in just a couple of minutes, is going to get baptized. Now, we want to baptize immediately today. So here's what we do. Now, Justin, a lot of people decide to get baptized in their clothes. That's cool. It is hot as fire. I know it's hot as fire in Miami as well. So, well, how do I drive in my car afterwards? I don't care if you've got a Bentley or a bomb. These covers will cover any seat. If you want to change, we have private dressing rooms, all different size shirts, dark shirts, Fellowship Church. We'll give it to you. Cool, long shorts, not the shorty shorts I wore when I was trying to play basketball at Florida State. The ones that are cool, we'll give you those. If you're into the blow-dry look, I mean, you got some Justin Bieber hair. I got Bieber fever. Anybody? Anyway, yeah, you got some great hair, man. I pay top dollar for hair like that. Anyway, we got blow dryers out there. And check these towels out, Justin. Have you ever felt towels that smooth?
No.
They're soft. Oh, yeah. And then we have stuff. I mean, we got stuff. It's awesome. So, right now, Justin, we're going to follow you out, and he's going to sprint out, and we're going to watch him get baptized. And let me tell you something, guys. No one get up. No one move. No one try to beat the crowd or try to get out of the parking lot early. Because if you do, right now, I don't want you to disturb the Spirit of God working. I don't want that to be on your conscience. And I don't want God one day to say, hey, you know what? I was moving in someone's life, but because you wanted to get barbecue or get some sushi, you disturbed and quenched my spirit. So everyone hang in here. We're going overtime in a couple of minutes. Overtime, just for a couple of minutes. All right. So I want you to sprint right now. And we're going to baptize him. Let's do it. Let's give him a round of applause. Everyone remain seated. Remain seated. All right, check it out on the side screen. The Bible says,
We believe, and then we're baptized. And baptism should be a celebration. You know, the scripture says when someone believes that there's a party going on in heaven, because we have a cheering section that never sits down as we walk with God. So there he is. He's getting his cardio in. Is that great? That's what it's all about right there. And I know it's kind of weird getting baptized. It's kind of strange. We do it because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. It's a no prayer. So he's in the water. We've only found 3 sharks in there over the last several years. That's all. But check it out. He's being baptized. That represents the washing, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection. Let's go crazy when he comes out of the water. Are you ready? He's being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, both of them. Let's go crazy right now. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bible says happens in every person's life when they believe and they're baptized. Please be seated. Please be seated. Now, I want to give you a chance right now, to be baptized immediately. I know you're thinking about distractions. Wow, sharks. Man, my past or my clothes or whatever. We've taken away the excuses. This is the new direction that God wants. Maybe you, again, became a believer 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and you've never been baptized after you became a believer. Lydia believed, was baptized. The jailer and his household believed, they were baptized. So at the count of 3, on 3, I want many of you, scores of you from the balcony at every single campus to you can sprint if you want to walk rapidly to the back and get baptized. If you want to change into one of our cool fellowship church uniforms, cool. We'll show you where the men's and women's changing areas are. At all of our campuses right now, on the count of 3, when I hit 3, don't delay, don't hesitate. Say, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm trusting. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit freaky, but I'm going for it. I believe it's time to get baptized. 1, are you ready? Are you ready? You might want to grab someone's hand next to you and say, hey, have you been baptized? And just encourage them and walk with them. Are you ready? 2, don't put it off. I'm talking to guys. Guys, we'll cheer and go wild for everything else, yet we're going to slither in the shadows and not say Christ and Jesus is my Lord. It's time, man. 1, 2, are you ready? 3, stand. Everyone else, clap. No one else stand. Do not stand for them. Give them room. Everyone remain seated. Let these people go. Everyone remain seated except those who are being baptized. Come on. Let's pray for these. Some people are hesitating. It's time to liquidate. You believed in the Lord. Now it's time to get baptized. The Bible says get baptized immediately. I know it's not easy. I know it takes guts. From the balcony, man, they're pouring down at our campuses in downtown Dallas, man. Awesome. Fort Worth, Plano, Miami. And if you're watching this by television, the next chance you get, go to a local church and get baptized immediately. All right. Awesome. Come on. God, continue to move right here. I know there's others who are waiting. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. We're not going to stay here all afternoon. We rarely do this at fellowship, but this is a God moment. You've been going through a crisis, and maybe this crisis now all of a sudden has a shape to it, a definition to it. God has allowed it. and now you're coming to know him. Anyone else? All right, right there, man, a whole family. Awesome. Anybody else? From the balcony, they're still coming. All right. Anybody else? They're still moving in the balcony. All right, my brother, awesome. Let's give it up for him. I'm telling you, if we can't celebrate in church, something is wrong. Again, we celebrate everywhere else, at parties and for athletic events and concerts, which is great. We should get more excited here than at any other place. Church, thank you for your excitement. They're still coming. Anybody else? You didn't plan on it. You didn't think about it. All right. Well, after we end the service, if you want to join them, man, as the crowds go out and watch the baptism, you just feel free to jump in, man. Jump in. Just like I did. Boom. There's a direction. There's going to be distractions. We all face them. We're not perfect. But I'm telling you, the disposition given to us by God Himself is absolutely awesome. Next weekend, we'll continue to talk about sharks. Don't miss a single installment. This is a life-altering series because there's sharks in the water. There's a crisis point in your life and mine. Jesus is the king of the crisis. He's the king of your life and mine. Pray through it. Praise through it. The power will be released. And I'm telling you, God will take you to the depths you never dream possible. Let's stand and leave with that mentality and that power. See you next time.
Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website.